بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, inshallah this won't be a very lengthy program. Alhamdulillah, we have come to the last few days, last few nights, last few moments of this beautiful month of Ramadan, with all its anwarat, barakat, blessings, the nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each person has experienced this thus far during the month of Ramadan. The beautiful mornings, the sari, the iftari, coming to the masjid, opening Quran Sharif, standing up in Taraweeh Salah. The feeling is different in the month of Ramadan. Now, ulama explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan gives us just an appetizer, a teaser, a small intro into the sweetness and the enjoyment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in His deen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this deen and Allah has made it enjoyable for us. There is joy, there is pleasure, there is sweetness in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the month of Ramadan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us just as an appetizer, just to give us a small glimpse, window shopping, into the sweetness that He has kept in His deen. Why? So that after the month of Ramadan, a person now goes full force ahead. And he wants to bring the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into his life. And the different opportunities Allah jalla jalaluhu has given to us in the month of Ramadan, one of the greatest bounties and blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, is Allah allowed us to create some munasabat, some link, some connection with the Quran Sharif. Every person in the month of Ramadan, either he's reciting Quran Sharif according to his capacity, or at the very least he is listening to Quran Sharif in the Taraweeh Salah, or the different programs that take place, the tilawat that takes place from the front, which happens in various masajid also. So to some extent there is a link, there is a munasabat, there is a connection created with the Quran Sharif. And the worry and concern on the mind and heart of every person, I must not lose this connection after the month of Ramadan. Ulama explained, Quran Sharif is the weightiest thing in the entire universe. This is direct wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To this extent, the sahabi says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would receive wahi, then beads of perspiration would break out onto his forehead. He would be able to notice from his face the Nabi of Allah is receiving wahi. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is seated on the back of his conveyance. And Jibreel alayhi salam comes and the wahi begins. And it was so weighty and so heavy that the legs of that animal nearly buckled. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had to dismount, that this animal cannot handle the weight of the wahi coming down from the skies right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran Sharif mentions, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ. If we had to send this Quran down onto the mountains, then Allah says, you'll see the mountains will become completely humble. What does it mean? Completely humble. مُتَصَدِّعًا is that they will split into pieces min خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely fearful that this is the direct speech and kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mountain is a very great creation of Allah, and we know the size of the mountains compared to insan. So ulama explained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even create the capacity within the mountain to withstand the wahi of Quran Sharif. The mountain can't bear it. The other great and large creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot bear it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the capacity and ability within the hearts of insan, that you will be able to bear the weight and the strength of this wahi, and you will have the tawfiq and ability to recite it day and night. I have created that strength within your heart. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi explains why. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create the capacity within the heart of insan? He says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And therefore he would explain that the Quran Sharif is a 30 chapter love letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his beloved insan. That you are my creation, I am your creator, I have love for you, therefore this is my hadiah and my gift to you. Ulama give the example, a person goes for Umrah. He goes to Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, and he thinks of me while he's there. He sends a message, I'm thinking of you. And then he comes back and he brings a hadiah, a gift. It may be something small, one musalla, or one frame, one tasbih, whatever it may be. But how a person will treasure this gift, he brought it all the way from Makkah Mukarrama, all the way from Medina Munawwara, this is something that is full of value. He'll treasure that gift. But what happens if he now takes it, he just throws it on the side of his house somewhere, or he gives it to his two-year-old child, and now you do what you want with this gift. That frame now he brought, the child is playing with it, the glass is broken, and the child scribbles with the crayon all over it. And now that person has to come and visit me in my home, and he sees the hadiah and gift that he bought for me just a few weeks ago, this is its condition. How won't he feel? That better next time I don't give this person anything, because he has no qadr, no appreciation for what I gave him. I took time out, I spent money, and I thought of him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the gift of Quran Sharif. But ulama explain 90% of the ummah, this gift has been kept on the top shelf. The rest of the year, outside of the month of Ramadan, I have to take out the steps to reach the Quran Sharif also. And he's collecting dust. We say, I got such a beautiful copy of the Quran, such fine calligraphy, latest edition, and I got different Quran markers also. But it's there just to decorate the bookshelf. But how much am I actually utilizing and taking benefit from the gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me? So in the month of Ramadan, we create this link with the Quran Sharif. But outside the month of Ramadan, and ulama explain what are the rights of the Quran Sharif. The first right, which many of us don't even think of, is a person has to have iman bil Quran. He has to believe in the Quran. What does it mean to believe in the Quran? One is, I believe this is the book of Allah, kalam of Allah. So alhamdulillah, I believe in it, I got some respect for it. But ulama explain what is meant, that this is the right of Quran Sharif, a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, al Quran wa hujjatun laka aw alayk. On the day of Qiyamah, the Quran Sharif will be there. And we will also be there in the court of Allah. The Quran will either be standing on our side and arguing in our favor, or it will turn state witness against us, that this person did not fulfill my hukuk and rights. So what does it mean that the right of the Quran is for us to have iman in the Quran? Ulama explain every injunction of the Quran Sharif, I have to believe in wholeheartedly, that there is absolutely no doubt, with certainty, with conviction, that I accept this law and command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to capital punishment, the different laws mentioned in the Quran Sharif, the hand of a thief will be cut off, person commits zina, he will be stoned to death, and the different capital punishments mentioned in the Quran Sharif, the whole world will say it's barbaric. Islam is a religion of, is a barbaric religion, and has no value for human life. But it's in the Quran Sharif, I have iman in the Quran, I believe in it wholeheartedly, without any reservations whatsoever. The ayat of mirath, inheritance, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out the entire system of inheritance, how much the son will receive, how much the daughter will receive, how much the brother and sister will get, how much the parents will get. Although it might not gel with what I want, or how I see my family progressing, but again, it is in the Quran Sharif, I have iman in it, I accept it wholeheartedly. When it comes to the ayat of hijab and segregation, that between males and females there has to be parda and segregation, maybe I am weak that I cannot practice upon it. But it's the right of Quran Sharif, I have iman, I believe in whatever appears in the Quran Sharif. And together with this, ulama explain that iman bil Quran, that a person understands that the salvation and success in my entire life lies in the Quran Sharif.
There's a grand item on the top, no number plate over there, is going on.
Zakal.
Waiting long time.
So one is for a person to believe in every injunction in the Quran Sharif. More than this, for us to have yaqeen and conviction, my salvation and success in both the worlds lies in the Quran Sharif. In the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, and the simple usul and principle in the Quran, ma ataakumur rasulu fakhudhu. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives to you, take it wholeheartedly, hold on to it, practice upon it, in this is your success. But ask myself, my dear brothers, do I have that iman in my heart or not? That the lifestyle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the way of success and progress for me. Or do I feel that that is restricted to the masjid, restricted to the day of Eid, restricted to the month of Ramadan, and my progress or my moving forward is in the lifestyle of anyone other than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In their fashion, their style, their ways, their mannerisms. So do I really have the first right of Quran, iman in the Quran? Do I have it in me or not? As we mentioned before, also the month of Ramadan is a yardstick, a gauge for us to see how close am I, how far am I. Do I have iman in the Quran or not? I'm reading the Quran, alhamdulillah, I'm listening to the Quran Sharif, and we respect the Quran to an extent also, but do I have this iman and belief in the Quran Sharif? Then secondly, ulama explain the next right of Quran, for a person to have love and respect. The example ulama give when a child is born. The child is born unclothed. And how immediately when the child is born, the nurses and the mother and those around will rush to cover the child. That now put a vest on, and then put something else on top of the vest, and then something else on top of that also. The body of the child must be protected. Because we understand its value, it's the first child. So a person has that love, he has that qadr for the child, that no harm must come to the physical body of the child. Ulama explained, but my Quran Sharif, what condition have I kept the Quran Sharif? If my child must wear a vest, and then a shirt on top of it, and then a kurta, and then a jacket on a cold day, then how much more should I protect and look after the Quran Sharif? And there are those masajid, alhamdulillah, where the community women get together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the reality and give us the tawfiq. That how many Quran Sharifs are in the masjid, now we will sew by hand the covers for the Quran Sharif. At least they are taken care of. That the Qurans are in the cupboard of the masjid being used by every person. But at least this much, my own copy of the Quran Sharif at home. Ask ourselves, when last did I wash the cover of my Quran? When last did I take it out? Then to ulama explain, the water used to wash the copy, the cover of the Quran should not just be discarded or thrown down the drain. This is Mubarak water now. Rather take it and put it into the plants in the garden. This shows my love and my respect for the Quran Sharif. And ulama explain, when a person will have love and respect, then Allah will give him. In his deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him barakat and give him progress. Incident is mentioned of that person, the drunkard. He came out of the tavern in a completely intoxicated state. And as he is walking home, he sees a piece of paper on the ground. He bends down, he looks at it, he sees some words of the Quran written on that piece of paper. He picks it up, he wipes it, he cleans it, he takes it home, he puts it on a high place, even in that intoxicated state of his. But he has that qadr and respect for the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs him that I have created a revolution in your life, I have forgiven you completely. He becomes a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just on the respect that he has for Quran Sharif. So how much of respect do I have? And here one point, very, very sensitive point, my dear brothers, in today's time especially. We find the ease that Allah has created, or the ease that we have around us now to read Quran Sharif on our cell phone. Every person has the application, and a person is sitting maybe in the masjid or sitting at home. Now to wake up and get a copy of the Quran from the shelf takes some effort. I can just open my phone, open the application. I have my bookmark there also. I have the color-coded tajweed also. It will correct me if I make a mistake. But we know what happens thereafter. I'm reading the Quran Sharif on the phone, and the notification will pop up on top, and where my mind goes thereafter. I'm reading the message that I'm seeing, maybe it's important, not important. So there's absolutely no concentration in my recitation of Quran. Ulama explain, although it may be permissible, but we should use this as an absolute last resort. Person is on the plane traveling somewhere, and he forgot to carry his copy of the Quran with him, or he's at the airport. He doesn't have a copy of Quran available. Now he wants to make tilawat, no problem, use the cell phone. But in the masjid we have copies available. At home we have copies available. Part of my love and respect for Quran, to touch the cell phone and hold the cell phone, there will be no reward. A person can hold the phone the entire day, he can have how many copies of the Quran and kitabs and everything on the phone, but to touch the phone there will be no reward. But to touch the copy of the Quran Sharif, I need wudu. There will be reward for me. To look at the copy of Quran Sharif, there will be reward for me. So this point also for us to rectify it, especially when it comes to our children also. We have these applications, and now we tell the child that learn your sabak, use the cell phone. If there is benefit, alhamdulillah, we're not saying that it's haram, shouldn't be done. But the real, or the original is to go back to the direct hard copy of the Quran Sharif. This shows our love and our respect. And then thirdly, ulama explained, the next right of the Quran Sharif, for me to make an effort to learn the Quran. And this is where most of us get stuck, my dear brothers. After the month of Ramadan, we have this notion in our minds that maktab and madrasa has an age limit. So it's only for the children who are in school. They will go to maktab in the afternoon. They will learn. They'll make an effort. They'll learn takhti also. So I cannot learn Quran Sharif. My time has passed now. I didn't get the opportunity when I was in school, when I was younger. So my time has come to an end. Alhamdulillah. I don't think any of our madaris and makatib, if we approach them, will say that, sorry, there's an age limit, we can't take admission, we can't accept you. In our masjid also, there is one elderly person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him istiqamat and reward him. Over 70 years old, but every morning he goes to the Hifz class. With his grandchildren, he takes them in the morning, he goes to the Hifz class, and he commenced his Hifz of Quran. And now I'm retired, I have free time, spare time, now I need to prepare for my akhirat. So we can do it. An amazing incident that was mentioned. There's a lady in Karachi who writes this incident. So she explains, she was from the upper class family, very wealthy, and she had a domestic worker who came from a very low caste, very poor background. So she says that this domestic worker, 18, 19 years old, she would come, unlearned, jahil, didn't get a chance to go to school. From the time she was small, looking after her siblings, trying to make ends meet, trying to make a plan for her daily food, etc. So she would come in the morning, she would clean the house, do the chores, etc., and leave in the afternoon. So she says on one occasion, there was a heavy storm that broke out, and it was impossible now for her to go back home. So she finished her work, 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever it was, and now she's looking outside, it's raining. So she asked permission that, can I stay here until the storm subsides? She says, no problem. So she says, this lady now, the owner of the house, she says, that it was the perfect weather. I had made a warm cup of coffee. I had the latest novel that I had bought from the bookstore. And I got into my bed. I pulled the covers around me. And as I was about to start enjoying my novel, when this domestic knocks on the door, and she says, I have just a small favor to ask you. There's no problem. She says, can you please lend me your copy of the Quran? I want to make some tilawat. So she says, the first pangs of guilt started. That here I'm sitting and enjoying my novel, and this unlearned young child is asking for the Quran. So she says, no problem. So she woke up. She says, I went to the shelf where our Quran Sharifs were kept. And then I realized the thick layer of dust on my Quran. I took a tissue. I began to wipe it. And she says, as I'm looking at the tissue, I can see all the dirt. The tissue is turning black. And those pangs of guilt are increasing within my heart. So she says, nevertheless, I cleaned it up as best as I could. And I gave it to her. She says, 1 minute, I want to go make wudu. So she went into the bathroom, she made wudu, she came out, and this woman is saying that I saw now, I can see the effects of the wudu on her, her limbs are shining, her face is shining. And she takes the Quran, she takes the desk, and she puts the Quran Sharif down. So this woman says, I'm watching her, I'm observing her to see, that she didn't even go to school, I want to see what she's going to do. So she says she put the Quran Sharif upside down on the desk, facing the other way. And for a full 2 minutes, she just looked at it, squinting her eyes, trying to figure out what's happening. After 2 minutes, she realized I got it the wrong way around. Then she turns it. And now she opens slowly, and she's turning the pages, again focusing, trying to find. She says she opened to the first page of the fourth juz, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ. So she says, I'm watching, I'm observing, I'm not saying anything. And then I can see she puts her finger onto the lam, and she begins to trace it. Lam, and then the noon, and then the ta. And slowly, painstakingly, she's tracing these letters. So this lady says that I couldn't hold back anymore. So I asked her, Tum kya kar rahi ho? What are you doing? Do you know how to read or not? So she says with shame and with embarrassment, she looks down, and one tear comes out of her eye, runs down her cheek, and then she looks up and she says, no, I don't know how to read Quran. She says, so what are you doing then? She says, I always had a desire that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to learn it. But I didn't get the opportunity. I'm working 7 days a week. By the time I go home, I've got to look after my siblings. I don't have the means to go to madrasa to learn. But every day, on the days that I work, then for 1 hour a day, I take the Quran and I just trace the words like this, hoping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach me one day. When I'm off, I don't have work, then I spend more time with this. So this lady says, every word she said to me was like an arrow hitting my heart. That here I am, I have the opportunity, I have the wealth, I have the resources, I have all the opportunity available to make an effort to learn how to read Quran. And this young, illiterate woman, who society won't even look at, they won't give her a second glance. She has torn clothing on, she's barely clean, she doesn't know how to write her own name also. But what level she probably has in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What dedication she has, she says, I close the novel, I put the cup of coffee down, and I turn to Allah from my heart, I said, oh Allah, I've got no excuse. I've got no excuse. I have every opportunity available. From today, I will make it my mission now, that I will learn how to read Quran Sharif, and I will make tilawat of Quran. So there are those people in the ummah who are making an effort, my dear brothers. When Alim mentioned the incident, he was sitting in the haram of Medina. He says that it was a day of Jumu'ah, and generally people will go to the Haram Sharif early, the crowd comes in. So he says for about two and a half hours I was making tilawat of Quran, there was a brother next to me. And for the entire 2 hours I finished 3 or 4 juz, and he was still on Surah Yasin. He started when I started. When I finished my 3rd or 4th juz, I see he's still on the 3rd or 4th page of Surah Yasin. So he says, afterwards I asked him, I greeted him, brother, where are you from? And I noticed this, I want to ask you, that so long you're spending on Surah Yasin. So he says, this is the only surah that I learnt. I don't know how to read Quran looking inside. When I was young, my parents didn't send me to Maktab. But every day I make sure, I make my khatam of Surah Yasin, even if it takes me 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes I'll start in the morning, then I have to go to work, I find some time at work. Then I'll read a little bit more, half page, whatever it is, it'll take me half an hour. I come back home, and before I sleep, I must finish my Surah Yasin. At least that much I know I will read for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, what a shock I got. That for myself I can read fluently, alhamdulillah, but how much am I taking time out? And to prove to us that we have it within us, my dear brothers, we have now after Asar, alhamdulillah, the para a day that takes place, how those who are following, what an effort we make to make sure we're here in the masjid. If I'm not here, I'll listen over the live streaming. How many brothers would send message also, the streaming is not working. Please, get the recording for us at least. I want to catch up. Because I want to finish my khatam. We have the willpower within us. But after the month of Ramadan, then it just falls flat afterwards. So ulama explained, one is the difficult way, one is the easy way. The difficult way, one person said, that I know I'm not going to do it. So I took a qasam in Allah's name. I took an oath. Wallahi, every day I will read one para. Now if I don't do it, I have to pay kafara. He says, I know, I don't have the money to pay kafara, better I make my Quran tilawat. That's the difficult way. So we're not saying that we must take an oath, now I'm going to do it. But the easy way is make intention. Ulama say when we make intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the avenue. Allah will free up our time. Where all my work was taking me the entire day because I had the correct intention, now Allah will make it such that my day opens up for me. I'll find those 10 minutes here, 5 minutes there, before salah, after salah. Even if I have to come home from work and sit in the car in the driveway, finish my quarter para for the day, and then go inside, we know once we go home, everything will start afterwards. The tea will come, the biscuits will come, baking will come. And before we know it, there's no time for my Quran Sharif tilawat. So after the month of Ramadan, the main thing for us to make that intention from now, my dear brothers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I'm leaving behind Kitabullah, the book of Allah. If you will hold on to it, you will be rightly guided. If you will abandon it, you will lose your way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Quran Sharif. The test will come, my dear brothers, on the day of Eid. That is when the test will come. On the day of Eid, now the month of Ramadan will come to an end. That person who was making tilawat, he was finishing his para a day, 3 paras, 5 paras a day. Last 10 nights he was pushing extra, he was in i'tikaf. He was making an effort. Now the day of Eid, morning of Eid will come. That will be the litmus test to us. Am I going to open Quran Sharif or not? So ulama say very simple. Simple prescription for us, those who are able to and can manage, is that we have the Islamic calendar, the Islamic date. The day of Eid, Wednesday, Thursday, whichever day it is, will be the first of Shawwal. Take the Islamic date, I will read that para for the day. First of Shawwal, I will read first para. Second of Shawwal, I will read second para. Like this, I will continue. So without even having to keep a marker or bookmark also, I know whatever is the Islamic date, like this I'll get linked to the Islamic calendar also. How many of us know the Islamic date outside of the month of Ramadan? We know our birthday, but my Islamic birthday, whether I know it, or my children. So at least I'll get some link to the Islamic calendar like this, the identity of a Muslim. Take the first para on the first of Shawwal, second para, third para. If I can't manage that much, at least a few pages from there. I'll keep this going, with that I have my other khatam of Quran. One family member, elderly woman, began to lose her eyesight. So she mentioned to me, she says, I can't manage any longer. but I want you to have a look at my Quran. So she showed me her Quran Sharif, big copy with a large font. And she had a page in the beginning, stuck to the front of the Quran. She has the names of different people there, marhum husband, her marhum son, two sisters who passed away, her daughter's name, and then her name. And this list continues, six names, and it starts again. So I asked her, what is this? So she says, I make khatam of Quran for all of them. They have left this world, but I must read for them and send the reward for them at least. My husband is gone, at least I can do this for him. My daughter, she's very busy, doesn't have time, I'll read Quran for her. So if others can do it, elderly can do it, sickly can do it, we also can do it. As we mentioned before, it is just mind over matter. I've got to make the decision, I've got to make the intention, I want to do it, Allah Ta'ala will create the means. So one is with regard to recitation, with regard to learning the Quran, my dear brothers, we mentioned this before, we have in our masajid, in our masjid alhamdulillah, other masajid, we have plenty ulama ikram. We have ourselves, we are here, Mawlana Zahir Saab is here also. Come to us, no problem. Mawlana, sit with me 5 minutes after Asar Salah, after Maghrib Salah, we'll take one day in the week. And let us just make nazira. Just read one page for us, let us read behind you, and we'll learn our Quran Sharif like this. Allah wants to see the initiative from our side. If we will do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become happy. We'll conclude on this, comes in the kitabs of fiqh. Person who puts on his ihram, he's going for hajj, and en route he passes away, Allah ta'ala will raise him with the hujjaj. If I will start my journey of Quran Sharif, I will start my journey of memorization, of recitation, of learning Quran Sharif. It may take me 15, 20 years. I may pass away before I learn how to read correctly also. But there is hope, ulama say, Allah Ta'ala will raise me with the huffaz also. Allah will raise me with those who know how to read Quran Sharif. But for me to show that little bit of initiative. So firstly, the day of Eid will come. Let us not forget our Quran Sharif on that day. It should not be, ulama say, the whole month I kept roza. I didn't have anything to eat in the day. But still, I read Quran Sharif. On the day of Eid, Allah Ta'ala feeds us, and we know how Allah feeds us. Person can barely wake up from the table on the day of Eid, and already it's the next meal, and then the next meal. How much we eat, we cover up for the entire Ramadan. Should not be Allah is feeding me so much on the day of Eid, and I forget Him now. So my Quran Sharif tilawat on the day of Eid, and like we said, thereafter we have ulama in our masajid, we have makatib, madaris, hifz classes. Go to some hifz class. Ask the alim, ask the ustad, that I want to just sit here for half an hour every day. I'll come when I can manage. When it's convenient for me, I'll come after Fajr, I'll come in the afternoon. I just want to sit and learn. I'll take some sabak by you looking inside also. Allah Ta'ala will become happy. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will see our initiative and tried and tested person will do this. What he thought will take him 2 years will take him 2 months. Allah will make it fluent on his tongue. Allah will open it up for him. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us correct understanding. And Allah keep us attached to the Quran Sharif. This is our only savior. Our only salvation on the day of Qiyamah in the Qabr, Quran Sharif will come and stand on our side and tell the angels that this person looked after me, he read me, he protected me, now I'm going to protect him. So if we will do it, Allah Ta'ala will become happy, Allah will protect us, our children will see us, we'll leave this Isa alayhi sawab for them, when we leave this world also, our rewards will be continuing. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.